Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Kedushin Daf Yotes. We got up to the sixth line off the top of the Amid, Bay Reish Lakish. So here comes the question. We know that the owner of an Amma HaIvriya, a Jewish maidservant, has the option of doing Yiyud, which basically means marry her. So the Torah gives the owner that option, and second best is that the owner's son will marry the Amma and turn her into his wife. The question is like this. How old does that son have to be? You see, typically, one has to be an adult to be Mekadesh and Isha. But here, perhaps, in the context of Yud, which is not really his personal Kiddushin, it's, you know, the son is sort of taking over. He's exercising, you know, his father's option. So perhaps in this case, even if the son is underage, he's below Bar Mitzvah, he doesn't have his own ability to be Mekadesh and Isha. But maybe the Torah gives the father that ability to marry his maidservant off to his son. Can he marry the Shivcha off to his young son? Shall we say, V'noi Amar Rachmano? Pasuk mentions the son of the master doing Yud, B'nai Kodu, so irrespective of his age, he can do it. Oidilma B'nai Dumyo Didei, or son has to be the same like the father. Mahu Godel Abnai Godel, just as father must be an adult, likewise son. Amra Bizera Tashma, I'll prove that even a katan can do it. The Pasuk speaks about one who interacts improperly with a married woman. V'ish asher yinaf es eshes ish. Okay, so the consequence is mois yomus misa through bezdin. And the Gemara darshan is like this: Toshma ish prat lekatan. The one who perpetrated the iser, he must be an adult. Otherwise, if he's just a katan, he's not liable to misa. Pasa continues: Asher yinaf es eshes ish. He was involved with a married woman, Eshes Ish, as opposed to one who is married to a katan, Prat Eshes Katan, who is not really considered a married woman. She's not an Eshes Ish. And therefore, there is no Misa upon that violation. End of Braisa. Now, the Amris V'yayit, if there is an option for the son of, right, to be M'yayit Ich Shivcha, even if he's underage, Imkein matzinu ishes lekatan. There you go. Boom. We have a married woman to a katan. Why does the Braisa do away with this option? We can have an ishes katan who is an ishes ish through yiyud. Although typically an ishes ish must be a isha of a gadol. Katan can't marry, but this is an exception. We have a possibility of a woman married to a katan. Well, my eno miyayid. Okay, so you wish to prove from here that there is no such option. So then, I have another question for you. Why does the Torah see a need to even discuss this? An ish of a katan doesn't count. Well, obviously, if there's no kiddushin by a katan, then why even discuss it? Tifshet minada miyayid. So if anything, you can prove from here that yes, even a katan can do yud. In which case, his wife now presents as a married woman. There is such an option. She is legally an eshes ish, and still the pasuk comes and says, well, despite the fact that she's really married to him, but she's not eshes ish, and therefore there's no misa, because she's only an eshes katan. So if anything, just the opposite. The fact that the Torah had to go to that length, to that tircha, to go and exclude, to make an exception for an eshes, a katan. Apparently there is such a phenomenon as eshes katan. And that can only be true if a katan can do yud. Amar Rav Ashi, no, I'll give you another possibility. Another way for a katan to be married. Hacha b'yavam. So he's a brother of the fellow who passed away without children. He's a yavam. Ben teisha shana b'yam echad. He's 9 years old and a bit. Habal yivim te'askinen, who got involved as married with the yavama. Dimidareis achaz yilei, since minatera she's bound to him. So now she's his wife, despite the fact that he doesn't really have the ability to make a kinyan, but this is different. Perhaps I would say, since we're not Torah, she's bound to him, and his interaction with her is a proper interaction. Now if a stranger gets involved with this wife, he's liable to the Yisra'eshes Ish. The Pasuk is excluding that, even though she's really his wife. So question, how do we get a wife of a katan? Not through Yud, perhaps, but perhaps through a Yibum scenario. Okay, so what's the end of the story? What's the conclusion? Can a katan do yiud or not? Toshma. Omar of Aibu, Omar of Yane, ain yiud el begodol, ain yiud el midas. Only a godol can exercise the yiud option, and it can only be done with proper das, with a mature mindset. Tarti? Why repeat yourself? Both of these things are basically one thing. If you need das, you need a gadol who has a fully mature mindset. Ma tam ka'amar, he's just giving us the reason for the halacha. Ma tam ein yud elav a gadol. Why do we need a gadol to do yud? Levish ein yud elav midas, because you need das, and therefore you need a gadol. So bottom line is that a katan cannot make yud. Continues the Gemara. V'bayis ema, another pshat, can be like this. May midas, midas dida. The first point was, you need a gadol. The second point was, that the ama, the maidservant, has to cooperate. She has to be involved. She has to consent to it. The Tani Abai, Brei de Rav Yavo, Asher lo ya'oda. The Pasuk speaks about not doing Yud. Now, the word Ya'oda sounds like notifying. Malamet shetzerech li'ya'ada, like Lashon of Das. You have to inform her. She has to be involved in this decision. Hu Tani lo, hu Amar lo. So the Abai who presented this price explained it as follows. Bekedusha Yud, Valib the Rosh Yehuda. We're speaking about informing her that you're about to exercise the Yud option, do Kedusha Yud. And the reason why you need to have her involved in the process and consent to it, that's because we're going like the Shita of Rabbi Yosei bar Rabbi Yehuda. You see, there's a big machlokes. How Yud works. How the procedure happens. According to the Rabbanon's approach, which money is he using to be Mekadosh this Isha? You need to make a Kinyan, right? The answer is the original money, the original payment, which he transferred to her father upon buying her, upon acquiring her as an Amma. That money was given with this mindset. That money had a dual purpose, so to speak. It was meant to purchase the Amma as a servant. But in that money lied a potential. Was that money was potentially meant to be applied. It had that power, had that koyach, that eventually down the road, if he chooses to be miyayid, that money should be reapplied for Kiddushin money and treated as the Kiddushay Kesef. So now, according to the Rabbanan's approach, the approach that we just mentioned, so you don't need to inform her. You don't really need her consent because her father was okay with it when he accepted that payment way back. So that's when the process sort of began. The Kiddushin is really a manifestation of that original payment, which was received by your father. So you don't need her involvement now. But according to Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, it doesn't work like that. It's not the original payment which is now going to be reapplied as Kiddushin money. No! He learns that you are Mekadisher by forgiving, this is the master, forgiving, you know, any time remaining on her, in her term. She's meant to work, you know, another couple of years or whatever. So he's giving that up. So that balance, that credit is applied as Mo'is Kedushin. He's giving that to her, so to speak, in exchange for the Kedushin. So according to this approach, it's the Isha that's involved. She's sort of accepting that payment right now. So you need her consent. You need her knowledge. The original money, the original payment, love the Kedushin. It was not going to be applied for Kedushin. It was never given out as a Kedushin payment. Rather, it's the current credit that's being applied, and therefore you need her das. Rav Nachum Ritzak Amar, afilu tem l'kedushin nitnu. You know what? Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda well, let's put it this way. This price can be going, or Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, whatever it is, even if we'll go with the approach that it's the original payment now being reapplied for Kiddushin, afilu tema l'kiddushin nitnu shani hacha. You still need her involvement, her das, because the Torah relates to it with the term Ya'ada. Ya'ada is Lashon Yediya. You need to inform her. You need her to accept it and to go along with it. Okay, so bottom line is, question was, can a son of the master, who is a katan, right? The son is a katan, can he do yud? We're not really sure about that. But then we had a brice, or Rav Avi, or Rav Yanai, you need a gadol. And the second point was, Ye'oda, is lashon of yedia, of das, she needs to be okay with that process. My Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, where do we find Rabbi Yisrael Shita? The son, Ye'oda vehefta. Pasuk says, if he Ashallah Ya'ada Vehefta. Right? So the pasuk is basically telling you like this, if you don't marry her, at least you should facilitate her release by deducting for all that time served and deducting it from her sale price and allowing her to redeem herself by refunding her master for the time remaining. So it's sort of a flip side. No yud? Okay, yes, pidyon. The fact that the Torah mentioned them side by side indicates to us that, yeah, it's two sides of a coin. The son of yud behefta, tzorach shiyeh, shiyeh shuhus biyoyim kidei pidyon. If you want to do yud, it needs to be sort of the flip side of pidyon. The pidyon option, the redemption option, the bailout option, must still be relevant. There needs to be shahus b'yayim, meaning there's enough time left. Even if it's the last day of her term, there's enough time remaining which would allow her to still work for you. And that work would still have value, still be, worth a pruta. So basically, there's still some credit owing to the master. And that credit he'll forgive, he'll give her as kiddushin. Mikan amar beis Yehuda. If there's enough time remaining which is worth a pruta mekudeshes, then you can exercise yud and make kiddushin rimlav. Otherwise, just a couple of seconds left of the day, she's about to leave, the amount owing to you is not even a shavar pruta, and there is no monetary value to time remaining. You can't go and apply that as kiddushin enim kudeshes. Alma kasavar, it's clear that he holds which money is being used for Kedushin. The current balance. Alma Kosavar, Mois, or Rishain. The original payment, no, Lava Kedushin Nitnu. Because if so, then even if it's the last second, well, the original money was meant for Kiddushin, and now it can be applied for Kiddushin. Apparently, he doesn't work with that track. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar, no, afilu temel Kiddushin itnu. Even for Beis holds, like the Rabbonah, the original money is being used for Kiddushin, still, you must have enough time remaining in the day. Shani Yochad Amar Chmona Behefta, because the Torah pairs up Yud and Pidyon. Yud is only possible when there is a Pidyon option on the table. Evidently, there is still enough time remaining on credit to allow for a balance with Shabbat Prut. Amar Rav Amar Rav Nachman. Omer Adam Levita Ktana. So now we're going to learn several halachas which are going to be derived from the concept of Yud. So according to Rav Amar Rav Nachman, Omer Adam Levita Ktana. This is in a, ordinary situation. A father can turn to his young daughter, even though she's a ktana, without the ability to affect her own kiddushin, but he can instruct her. Tzi v'kabli kiddushayach. Go and accept kiddushin. Get yourself married. I'm allowing that to happen. So since he's authorizing her, it works. Why? Mid Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda. It's based on Rabbi Yosi's approach to Yud. And just as Yud works, this works. Why? Lav Amar. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda. Mois, Rabbi Yishenus. Lav kiddushin itnu. Didn't Rabbi Yosi just tell us? It's not the original money. Rather, it's the current credit. When there is time remaining in her term, that is going to be applied for the Kiddushin. Despite the fact that she's a Ktana. She can now take part in the Kiddushin process without her father's involvement. It's not her father's acceptance. Her father's long gone. He took that original payment and he's back home. Why is she Mekudosh? Because of the current balance. Because of the time remaining, which is now going to be forgiven to her. And that's going to be sort of given to her for Kiddushin. So she's in effect accepting her own Kiddushin. But it works because it's done under her father's authority. Father consented to it. Father allowed it. He enabled it by selling her as as an Amma. Hachanami Lashna. Likewise, in our case, a father can turn to his young daughter, go, take care of your marriage. Next Allah. Another halacha we learn from Yud. A fellow walks over to the Isha, who happens to owe him some money, and gave him a collateral as a fallback, as a backup for that loan. He can say, look, I'm forgiving that loan. Here, take back the collateral. So although we learned in Avvav, that Makadish B'milva, just forgiving a loan, that's not something tangible. It's not reckoned like actual payment, which can work for Kiddushin, but here there's something tangible involved. He's returning the mashkin to her. The mashkin, which is a materialization of that chayv, he's giving it back, she's getting something tangible. So explains the Rashba in Al Gemara. And we have a source. We're going to compare it to Yud. With Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda. Lav on Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda. Mois Rishonus, Lav Kiddushin Nitnu. According to him, it's not the original money. Rather, it's the time remaining on her term that she's committed to work for him. So it's basically a loan. She owes that to him. And there's a mashkin involved because he's sort of, in possession of her, so to speak. And then he lets her have it. He forgives it and lets her take back herself, so to speak. Hayal vohi. Right? So there's a loan here, owing to him. You go for mashkin here. And she's like the collateral. And it works. And if there is some, Shavar Pruta of time remaining in her period, in her term, and he just says, look, stop working and keep that as Kiddushin, it works. No, likewise, in the case of the Milva with the Mashkin, it works as well. Tana Rabban. Case of Mitzvahs Yud, how exactly does he exercise Mitzvahs Yud? He gets up in front of two Edom, because for Kiddushin you need two Edom, Dava Sheba Erva needs two Shnaim. And he says, Hariyat Mekudeshesli, or Hariyat Mekudeshesli, Afilu B'Saif Sheish, even if it's at the tail end of her 6-year term, Afilu Samach L'Shkiyas Achama, even if it's, a minute before sunset, it's almost over. He can exercise that Yud option, even though there isn't a Shava Pruta of work left. This is according to the Tanakama, according to the Rabbanon. It's the original payment that's going to be applied as Kiddushin. You don't need enough credit now. And going forward, he treats her as a full wife and not as a maidservant. Rabbi Yisr, B'daimah, no. You need to leave yourself at least a couple of minutes of potential, work time, which he's giving her now. there's enough time remaining in the day. They last is Yimai Shavar Pruta to work for him, a Pruta worth. Mikodeshes. So by giving her that, he's giving her the Kedushin. Mimlav, otherwise, any Kodeshes. Continues the Gemara. We can learn from this idea of Yud regarding an interesting case of Kiddush. Mashal. We could compare this. And this will teach us to another halacha. We're going to compare it to a case as follows. Reuben tells Rachel, right? I want you to be Mekudosh to me, starting from right now, Me'achshav. But I don't want to wait. You don't want to think about it. So once 30 days are over and I'm okay with it, you're mine retroactively, starting from today. And what happened? It didn't go so smoothly. In the middle of that 30-day period, she accepted Kedushin from somebody else. Now 30 days are up, and Reuben, the first fellow, decides, okay, he wants her. Who gets her? Reuben or Shimon? Reuben. Shimon Kodeshes L'Rishon. Why? Although it wasn't finalized until 30 days were up. But once those 30 days are up and he's okay with it, she becomes Mekudeshes Lima Freya retroactively from day one. And this idea can be derived from the halacha of Yiyud. Moshe Leman, who are we comparing this to? Meaning, which Yiyud track? Is it the Rabbanan's track or is it Rabbi Yisrael Rida's track? Ilema Mashal, is it compared to Rabbi Yossi's track of Yud? Well, says the Gemara, it's totally disconnected from his approach, because he holds that there's nothing tricky by Yud. There's nothing retroactive. It's a pretty straightforward procedure. When he decides he wants Yud, he stops and he tells her, and that's it. And he forgives the rest of her shibud, the rest of her work, and that's applied for Kiddushin. There's nothing retroactive, nothing fancy going on. Ha! Huh. Didn't he just tell us, Im yesh shehus biyoyim kidei lasus imay shavar prutim kodeshes? If there's still, shavar prut of outstanding, work, that's for the Kiddushin. Going forward, pretty simple procedure. Im lav, otherwise lo, it doesn't work. So it's totally dissimilar to the case of the Me'achshav and Lachar Shleishim Yoyim. Omer Macha Barei Deravar Moshel Rabbonon. It's derived from the Rabbonon's approach, who approach Yud in a very similar vein as this story. There was a Mesinas Mois, the original payment way back when, which won't really be activated for Kiddushin right away. It's sort of, pending upon the master deciding to go forward with the Yivam option, with the Yud option, which will then be applied retroactively, utilizing that original payment. There you go. That's pretty much a mirror, case of the scenario we described, and we see it works. Look, the Gemara Pshita, well, of course, obviously, the two cases are so similar and a perfect match. So what's the point of even discussing it? Ma'od HaTema, perhaps I would say like this. Hala Yomar LeMe'achshav. We're assuming that in order for it to be applied retroactively, you have to say the magic word Me'achshav. But the problem is that by Yud, we don't find. Nobody said Me'achshav. He paid for the maidservant. He went home with her. She served him for 5 years. He then decides to proceed with Yud. We say it works. And it works using the original payment, retroactively, despite the fact that he never said Me'achshav. He never declared at the time that he's going to want to do Yud. So who said you have to say Me'achshav? And likewise, in our case, perhaps all he needs to do is say, look, you're mine after 30 days. Without saying Me'achshav, it can still work. Retroactively, Kamash Mon Dechidish is no. That ultimately, you have to say Me'achshav. Because really, Yud also works along the same lines, even though he didn't have actually verbalized the word Me'achshav, but it's understood, it's implied. It's a Torah mandated procedure. That's the way the Torah established the system. the purchase payment, the sale money, is given with that mindset. And it's as though he said Me'achshav. Tani Yidach, we have another b'raisa. Hamoicher es bitoy, he sells his daughter as a maidservant. V'holach v'kitchel achar. Then he goes over to another fellow, Shimon, and marries her off to him, is Mekadosher, to Shimon. Thereby preempting any chance of Reuven, the first slave master, from proceeding with Yud. Sichek ba'adoin u'mekadeshes l'sheni. He sort of turned his back, laughed off the first master. Basically, he took away his Yud option by being Mekadesher to Shimon. That's the way it works. So, of course, Reuven still owns her as a maidservant. That doesn't expire. But technically, she's married to Shimon. Divrei Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda. V'chachamim omrim, no, imratza liyayid miyayid. No. Reuven doesn't lose any privileges because, you see, this is... Here we see the two tracks. And we see how the Chachamim and Rabbi Yosi correspond to their understanding of the Yud process. You see, the Chachamim hold that the original payment has a dual function. It's payment as, you know, purchase price for the Shivcha, and it's also potential payment for Kedushin. So Reuven's payment preempted Shimon's Kedushin. It preceded Shimon's Kedushin. Reuven's payment already had it within it an element of Kiddushin, and that preceded Shimon. So of course, he's the one that can do Yud, not Shimon. Whereas Rabbi Yosi holds, the Yud process doesn't really commence until much later. It doesn't happen during the actual sale. So although he purchased her, but then Shimon was Mekadosher, Shimon won. Says the Gemara, we can learn an interesting halacha from this as well. Moshal Omer Leisha, it's comparable to the next case. Where a fellow tells the Isha, Hari at Mekadeshesli l'achar shleshim yom. He doesn't say me'achshav, he says, you're mine after 30 days. Uba achar b'kitcha b'toyu shleshim yom. Shimon approaches her, and is Mekadesher right now. Shemekadeshes l'sheni. Shimon gets her. And this is derived from the previous halacha of Yud. Mashal Laman, who are we comparing this to the Shidas Rabbanon, who hold that the slave master gets the opportunity to do Yud and not the second fellow, or is it like Rabbi Yosi, who says the second fellow won? Mashallah, Ilam the Rabbanon, is it a comparison to the Rabbanon? Absolutely not. If anything, the opposite. Ha'amri Rabbanon, they hold that by Yud, it's the first one that wins. And in your case over here, it's the second fellow. Ella Omar of Achabed, Rabbi Moshe Rabbi Yosi, that's comparable to Rabbi Yosi, because he holds that when Reuven bought her and Shimon did the Kiddushin, Shimon wins. Likewise, in our case, Reuven was Mekadosher after 30 days. And as Shimon comes along within 30 days, Shimon gets her, because he preempted Reuven. Oh, Pshita, obviously, it's a perfect match. The two cases are perfectly matching. What's the Chiddush here? Ma'od Atema, perhaps I would think like this. You know why, according to Rabbi Yosi, Shimon gets her? That's because Reuven, when he was purchasing her, he never spoke about the fact that he's going to, you know, do Yud in the future. So perhaps that's why, since, you know, Reuven was never an involved party in terms of marrying her, so Shimon gets her. But in our case, where Reuven specifically said, look, Ami Mekadeshu, so that this condition should take effect after 30 days. Perhaps in this case, he gets priority over Shimon, who comes in Mekadesha later. Kamashmon the Chiddush is no. Unless you say Me'achshav, process doesn't really begin until 30 days. And Shimon, who came in between, preempts and takes the Isha. So we have a case where he said, Me'achshav v'la'achar shleshem yoyim. We have a case where he said, la'achar shleshem yoyim only. And one is comparable to the Rabbanon, one is comparable to the Rabbi Yehuda, and each one has its own halach. Tani Yiduch. Hamaych resbito yipasak arbanash le'liyayit. Here comes a fellow who sells his daughter as a maidservant, but he says, look, on condition, Yud, marriage is not an option. Can he specify such a condition? Niskaya Matsunai, yeah. Divra Meir says, you got to keep the condition. Yiyud is no longer an option. V'chacham Oymrim, no. You can't block Yiyud, which is a Torah mandated procedure. Imrotza Le'yayid Me'yayid. The owner still has the option to do Yiyud. V'pnei Shehisna, Mashukasa Batera. You're trying to condition against the Torah. It doesn't work. V'chalamasna, Mashukasa Batera. Tanoi bottle, totally null and void. Asks the Gemara, Rav Meir allows you to make a Tanai against the Torah. Ul Rav Meir Tanoi Kayam Vatanya. The Brisa says, Ha'im Relish, Hariat Mugadeshously. He approaches the Isha, he says, you're mine, Almanas, on condition that I'm not really obligated as a husband is to his wife. I'm not Shein Nechala, you have none of the following claims. She'er, Ksus Vaina. I don't have to feed you, clothe you, be with you as a married couple. No, none of that. Harezim Kodeshes. But Tanoi Batal. Divra Meir. Meir says, Mazel Tov. They became husband and wife, and he has to live up to all his obligations. You can't cut corners. You can't make a Tanai against the Torah. Rabbi Daimer, you know, it all depends. B'davar shebemomit Tanoi Kayim. Things which are not monetary related, fine. Then you can't condition against the Torah, but things which are monetarily related, b'davar shebemamayin, then that's different. But bottom line is, according to Rav Meir, any Tanai which opposes the din of the Torah is null and void. So how can you sell her without the Yud option? Amar chizke shani hacha, this is an exception. Amar kor, the Pasuk says, v'chiyimkar Ishes bitoy, the pasuk adds the word la'ama as a maidservant. Obviously, well, that's what he's doing. Why does the Torah need to say that? To teach you. Pa'amim she'enoy meichru ela la'ama bavad. At times, you can actually just sell her as a maidservant without yud option. So the Torah allows for that. Now, v'rabbanon, who disagree? Hi, la'ama, my abdul. What do I do with this pasuk la'ama? Hi, mi bayilu, they need it for the following halach. La'ama, k'desani, la'ama. Bryce says like this. V'chayim kar ishes bitei la'amo. What does that tell us? Malamed shemeichor lepsul. You can sell her to a fellow who's called a pasul. What does that mean? Let's say he's a mamzer. Okay, the slave master. You can sell her to a master to a mamzer, despite the fact that he's not really allowed to marry a regular bas yisrael. There's a law, but technically, the condition is teifes. If he actually does condition, it works. So, since theoretically there isn't a yud option in the books for this fellow, so the mechira, the sale is valid. So basically, we're coming with the notion that every mechira of the amma has to come along with a yud option. So although the puzzle is not your top pick, is not the preferred husband, but he has the ability to do kiddushin, so he has the ability to purchase her as a amma. Asks the Gemara, why do we need a pasuk for this? It's obvious that it works. We have a kavach im mekachel lepsulim. If the father can marry his daughter off to a puzzle, like we said, it works. Why can't he sell her to a puzzle? Well, Malam Kashal Psulim, I understand that he can Makadash to apostle because he has a lot of power, father does. A lot of ability when it comes to be Makadash's daughter. Shekin Adam Makadash's Peter Kshay Nara. He can even do it when she's a Nara. As opposed to selling her, once she becomes a Nara, once she turns 12, she's out of his hands. Yim Kuran Lapsulim, why would you suggest that he can even sell her to an apostle? Selling, that takes more power. Shein Adam Mechar Peter Kshay Nara. You see that his ability to sell his daughter is limited. Can't sell her when she becomes a nara. So perhaps he cannot sell her to a puzzle. That's why we need a puzzle. Tam leimar la'ama, malamet shemeichor lepsulim. This puzzle tells you that even though she's not really meant to marry him, it's only going to be a sale la'ama to work for him. It works. Rav Lezer Omer, im lelamda shemeichor lepsulim. If it's only to tell you this halacha, well, we know that halacha from elsewhere. Harei kvar nema, im ra'a bein adoneo, that she was disliked by her master. Now, we're not speaking chas v'shalom, he's just disliking her for external reasons. We're speaking about some sort of spiritual incompatibility between the two. She'ra'a b'nisu'eha, that she's not allowed to marry him because there's an isser, there's something wrong there. He's a mamzer, there's, So apparently, the Torah is enabling even a mamzer to purchase an umma, despite the fact that he's not meant to exercise that yud option with her. So clearly, you can be meicher her lepsulim from this pasuk. What about the other pasuk? What's that coming to teach you? It's meant to take you even a step further. Ma'al tam alim la'umma. What about the pasuk, which speaks about selling her as an umma, meaning strictly as a maid servant without the yud option? What's that coming from? Malamet shemechel ekroivim. Step further, you could even sell it to a relative, even though there's no possibility of yud. There's no yud option. Kedushin is not taifas by a relative. Why do we need a pasuk? Well, yedinu, we can learn after Rokav HaChaymer. Im ameicher lepsulin leim karen lekroivim. If you can sell it to an apostle, certainly to a kariv. No, big difference. Ma'al ameicher lepsulin, of course, perhaps. Psulin work, shim rotzel liyayid miyayid, because ultimately if he chooses to do yud, it works. Im karen lekroivim, how could you suggest a relative, shim rotzel liyayid enim yayid, who doesn't even have the option of yud? Amakro, that's what the pasuk says, la'ama, to add even this. Malama shemeicher lekroivim, so Blazer holds a huge chiddush. You can even sell it to a relative, even though there is no possibility, there's no option to do yud. Now, Rameh, who applied the word la'ama, that you can sell her on condition that there will be no yud, so how does he know these halachas? Lipsulin, that you can sell her to a pasul, how does he know? Nafkele mehecha de nafkele rablezer. He learns it from the other pasuk that Rabbi Lezer presented. Imra b'ena dineo. There's some incompatibility. You can sell it to a pasuk. Regarding the halacha b'kroivim, selling it to an actual relative, well, that he holds he can't. Sovel k'rabban holds like rabban. The amri ein b'chel k'rabban. You can't sell it to a relative. So, basically, you don't need a pasuk for that. So, bottom line is like this. We have the pasuk la'ama. We have the pasuk imra b'ena dineo. So, according to Rav Meir, La'ama tells you, you can sell her on condition that he will not be miyayid. The pasuk imra b'ena dineo tells you, you can sell her to a pasul, despite the fact that yud isn't really a halachically acceptable, option there. The Rabbi Lezer learns, a pasul, because of imra b'ena dineo. La'ama tells you even a kariv. The Rabbanan say, La'ama tells you a pasul. And apparently they don't focus on the pasuk imra b'ena dineo. They don't learn it the same way the other shittas learned it. And they hold that, in fact, you cannot sell it to a kariv who doesn't even have the ability to marry you and do yud. Let's perhaps just learn another little piece till the two dots, which pretty much wraps up our sugya. Tani chada. So one brisa says, Meichra la'aviv. Ve'meichra la'bnai. One can sell his daughter to his father, who's basically the child's grandfather. But he cannot sell her to his son, who is this girl's brother. Second brisa says, So the first brisa says, father, yes, son, no. Second brisa says, you can't sell her to your father or your son. Now, second brisa is fully understood. He can't sell her to father or to son because they're kraivim. He can't sell her to a kariv who doesn't have the yud option. Ella, what about the first brisa, which says meichro laviv, father, yes, ve'in reich lebnai, to son, no. Come on, who's speaking? Which shita does this follow? It's sort of in the middle, like rabbanon. It's not going like the rabbanon, who say you cannot sell her to the father. And here it says you could. But like Rabbi Lezer, it's not going like Rabbi Lezer, who says you can sell it to any relative. And here it says you can't sell it to the son. Like Rabbanon, we're following the Rabbanon. So to the father, to the son, that's out, because he's a brother, can't do yud. But to the father, it's okay. You know why? They agree in this case because there is a yud option in the pipeline. You see, although the father, who's this girl's grandfather, cannot do yud himself, but remember, there are two options in yud: the slave master himself, the owner, or his son. So although in this case the grandfather cannot do yud himself, but he can pass it on to his son, who's basically this girl's uncle, and he can do yud to his brother's daughter, and she's muta to him, so therefore there is a possibility of yud, and therefore the sale works. Okay, let's wrap up today's daf. We had the shaila about Ben Katan doing Yud. We concluded that it doesn't work. We learned that she has to go along with the Yud process. She has to be consensual. She has to have Das. We had the two approaches in the understanding of the process of Yud. Is it the Mois HaRishonim, the original money, the original payment? That's the Rabbanon. Or is it the outstanding balance in terms of the time remaining in her term, the unworked time, and that's going to be applied to the Kedushin. That's the Reis Yehuda's approach. We learned that a father can ask his daughter to accept her own Kedushin. That's based on Reis Yehuda's approach to Yud. Kaddish B'muva with a Mashkin works. That's Reis Yehuda's approach. We learned about the fact that according to Reis Yehuda, you have to have at least a Shavar Prut of work that is yet to be done, and that's going to be applied to the Kedushin. According to Rabban, you can do it even the last second of the 6 years, because it's the original payment that's going to be applied. We learned about a fellow who's Makadish and Isha Ma'akshav, Olachash Leishim Yayim, it's Chala Ma'freya, and that's based on the Rabbanon's approach to Yud. We have the case of Makadish and Isha La'achash Leishim Yayim, without saying Ma'freya. In that case, the second fellow comes along and takes her now, it's his. And that's learned based on Rabbi Yehuda's approach to Yud, because it's not Mafreya. Now we have the Shitas regarding selling her on condition, regarding selling her to Psulim, and selling her to the Kraven. Hatzlacha Rabbi to you, Psurus Tevis, and lots of Siyata Dishmaya Amen.